Time now for a very special Stain Gang podcast as we introduce you to Midwestern State's new women's head basketball coach, Bernita Jackson. I'm Pete Stein, and hopefully this is the first of many podcasts we do with Bernita Jackson. And Bernita, we really appreciate your time, and thanks for jumping on with us to do this podcast. And welcome to Midwestern State.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Let me just first ask you, what appealed to you about Midwestern State? Why were you interested in this particular job?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that MSU offers. One specifically is it's NCAA Division II. It's got great facilities, nice college town that it's in Wichita Falls, easy access to some of the best recruiting locations and events. And then, honestly, just the people that I met, they were just very welcoming. And the athletic director, Kyle Williams, even the president, Keith Lamb, everybody was just so welcoming, so kind, and just seemed, you know, down to earth. It really felt like a family here. And so for me, that's important, because who you work with and for matters.
You had a great deal of success in a very quick time at Texas Wesleyan, and that's kind of been your MO as a head coach, turning programs around. What makes you think you can get the program here at Midwestern State headed in the right direction?
Well, I know a huge part of it is recruiting, and I'm going to work hard and do what I've always done, which is go and get players that fit my style of basketball, my style of coaching. And I play an up-tempo style, and so that is always fun for players. I've learned that they like being a part of it because everybody is an option and everybody gets touches, and everybody plays defense. And so it's really, it's a team environment. It's about the we, not the me. And so I have learned that it's exciting for them. And when the players are excited and believe in what you do, good things can happen, and you obviously position yourself to win. So, but recruiting to me is just the lifeline of it all. And I'm definitely experienced in recruiting high level players.
You've already kind of answered one of the questions I had, and that's the kind of style of basketball we can expect to see at Lincoln Coliseum with Bernita Jackson at the helm. But you mentioned recruiting and areas that you need to recruit. When a couple of questions about recruiting. One, where do you think you need to go to find these players to play the up-tempo style here at Midwestern State? And can you sell Midwestern State to the type of players you're looking for?
Yes, absolutely. I was able to sell Texas Wesleyan with far less resources and not as good a facility. And so with better resources and better facilities, you know, that's going to be, for me, an easy sale. Also, too, you know, with the up-tempo style that I like to already recruit players that get up and down, that play hard defensively, that make shots, and are used to that faster pace. And so I actually kind of like to diversify my roster. I don't go just one place for everything. I think that it's important to hit a couple of junior colleges, get into the transfer portal for some four-year transfers to bring in that experience, high school players that are, you know, Texas is some of the best basketball in the country. And I'm not just saying that because I'm from Texas and I love Texas. It really is a fact. You know, coaches from all over the country fly to Texas, specifically Dallas-Fort Worth, to recruit players. And I grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, so I'm familiar with a lot of the high schools. I'm well connected with them. And, you know, it's important that you recruit those areas because you're going to get high quality players that are used to competing every single night against top talent. And then also too, I want to include some hometown players that are from the Wichita Falls or West Texas area as well, because I think you need to have a good quality balance, right? Like I think too much of one thing it can be unhealthy, if you will. So I like to have balance. I like to have that diversity on my roster. And my intention is to kind of hit all of those different areas. But Texas is just, I mean, it's just a hotbed for recruiting. So we're gonna sink our teeth deep into the Texas players. So
well, you're hitting on a point that I've been making to people for several years now, is that Texas is a football state. I think that's a fair statement, but it's also a basketball state. Both men and women's basketball, there's so many good basketball players in the state of Texas, and I think it gets overshadowed by football sometimes.
Absolutely, absolutely. It really is. I mean, yes, this is a Texas, football state, but you're right, especially women's basketball. I mean, some of the best events as far as women's basketball recruiting is here in Texas. And, you know, you saw with the Final Four this year, they had record numbers of attendance here in Dallas. That's for a reason. You know, we definitely have people here in Texas that support women's basketball.
Bernita, you're already reading my mind. This is kind of scary because I was going to ask you about the exposure that women's basketball got just within the last couple of weeks and the growth of the women's basketball game. And do you think that's to the benefit of the program here at Midwestern State?
Absolutely. I think so. I believe that, you know, when you see record numbers like that happening just 2 hours down the road, that lets you know that there's a fan base here. And, you know, from talking to everybody at MSU, you know, it's a basketball school, and all the alumni that I've heard from so far, they're excited to see the program up and running. They can't wait to get back to games, and we want them there. We want them to come. We want the high schools to come out, the middle schools to come out. We want people to be excited about MSU basketball, and I think that the interest for women's basketball is definitely here in the area. We got to get reconnected with those pipelines again and bring them back home to get some, you know, get them excited about it.
You just brought back a memory for me because I started broadcasting games here, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago now. And one of the things that people told me when I first started was, that's a basketball school. So to hear you say that, people still look at this as a basketball school, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's another thing that makes it appealing. And that's another thing that makes it, to me, easier to recruit to, because they're going to already feel that when they get on campus.
You mentioned some of your background, that you're from the Metroplex. I believe you played at Cedar Hill. Is that right?
That's right. Cedar Hill High School is where I graduated from. Went there and played at Lon Morris Junior College for 2 years. And so I'm familiar with the junior colleges all throughout the state of Texas. And then went from there and played Division I at Southeastern Louisiana University, and they're in the Southland Conference. So once I graduated from Southeastern, I went overseas and played for a year in Denmark, and then came back to my alma mater at Lon Morris College as an assistant coach. So been in Texas, been playing in Texas, been coaching in Texas. And actually, when I got to Lon Morris as an assistant coach, the head coach there, she was Coach Rosalind Floyd Findle. She's an MSU graduate. And so that's my coach. That's my mentor. And she's just been so supportive and encouraging during my entire coaching and playing career.
So you did have a little bit of a connection to Midwestern State prior to this.
Well, yes, I didn't realize. Actually, some people that I didn't even know were connected to MSU, you know, as this began to come to light. I didn't realize I had that many people that I knew that were connected to MSU. But yes, my coach, she played there. And I want to say that was back when they won a championship, if I'm not mistaken. I don't want to misquote, but I think they won a championship when she was there.
It's very likely. I'm curious about, you said you played in Denmark. I'm curious what that experience was like for you. And what did you learn from that experience?
So the European style of play is very different. It's a lot of fundamentals, and they're not as physical as we are over here in the States. So it was a good experience. I enjoyed literally just getting the experience, but I'm just a very family oriented person. And so I struggled not being able to see my family every day or every
You're
week.
A long way from home.
You know, I know, and can't get in the car and drive to them. So I got really homesick and said, well, I got to experience it. I'm going home. So
I'm going back to Texas.
That's right. That's what I learned. I want to be around family. So
well, and
So I came on back.
It's interesting you say that, because one of the things we wanted to talk about was you're around family all the time, right? Your husband is your assistant coach. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. We've been coaching together since 2010 and running a business, and I love it. You know, it's one of those things where we balance each other out in all areas. So, and work too. You know, there are areas that he focuses on that I'm maybe not as good at, and vice versa. And I'm okay and secure enough in saying this, I'm not good at everything, right?
Right.
So the people I put around me, I need to make sure that the areas that I'm not that good in, that's where they shine. And so together we're collaborative, and, you know, everybody's in their lane doing what they need to do.
So I've been married nearly 30 years, but I can't imagine working with my spouse and just being, that's an interesting dynamic. And we've seen it work at Angelo State, that they've got a similar situation there where the wife is the head coach, the husband is the assistant. But I mean, yes. Do you ever get on each other's nerves?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Just like, you know.
Man, I appreciate your honesty.
And he always jokes with me, you know, what are you going to do, fire me? Okay, I'll see you at home. So what's for dinner, you know?
And then you also have a young one, right? A daughter?
Yes, we just had our first daughter. She just turned one, so she's very much a part of what we do. She came with us to the national tournament. The girls love having her around, and she doesn't get to come to all the practices. She's at home with her grandma, but no, she loves it. She's a part of it. She already knows how to high five and clap, so she's a basketball baby.
There's no doubt with her mom and dad, she's got no choice but to be a basketball baby. You mentioned you went to nationals. You took Texas Wesleyan, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think you went to the round of 16 in the NIA tournament this past year and lost to the number one team in a pretty close game. I think you were within two late in that game.
Yes, we did. It was heartbreaking, and our team, you know, I believe was one of the top, you know, 10 teams in the country all year, but nevertheless, we went, and, you know, our girls won the first two rounds of the national tournament for the first time in program history, and we went to the round of 16, and it was awesome to experience that, and I really wish we could have won, but, you know, the school that we lost to, Central Methodist, I mean, they are a really, really good team, and they had been to the Final Four multiple times. So sometimes that experience helps them to know what to do and how to approach it. In ours, it took them a little while to settle down, but, you know, not to take away anything away from Central Methodist. They are a solid team and deserve to be there, deserve to win. But you just hate to kind of see yours not be the one to win. So, it was great.
I know you're excited about coming to Midwestern State, but it's got to also be tough. You've built that program at Texas Wesleyan, and you've made that progress. There's got to be part of you that's kind of sad to leave Texas Wesleyan.
Absolutely. Very sad. And that's, you know, my first year there is when I was actually pregnant. And so I always have a piece of my heart there just because they welcomed my child. They allowed me to keep coaching and have her with me when I first had her, and I was a new mom in a new season of my life. They were very supportive. My AD and human resources just like, you bring her with you as long as you need to, you know, because it's just tough. And any new mom that is in coaching knows how hard it is to, you know, leave your baby and go do the work, but the work's got to get done. And so I wanted to do both, but no, it is tough. I hate to leave, you know, at this time because the team was doing so well. At the same time, you know, I think my assignment there is done, and I did what I went there to do, and whoever goes in next is gonna excel and do great things and hopefully keep it rolling.
So you had three members of your family on that coaching staff there. You know, people are going to see how quickly you turn things around at Texas Wesleyan. They're going to kind of expect or at least hope for the same thing here at Midwestern State. Is that expectation too much?
You know, I say don't have heavy expectations the first year. because the first year is very important to get in, to get the players that you need, but then also to build the culture and expectation from the players to win. So once we get that change, and we can do that this first year, it'll be better recruiting years too. And so I think the higher expectations should be on year two. We could get it turned around, but you know, I can't really time how fast the players are going to buy in to what it takes to win. Everybody says they want to win, but doing the work that it takes to win, that's different. And sometimes it takes a couple of months. Some of them, it takes them a whole season to figure it out. You know, that part of it, I'm going to find out as we go through the process. But definitely expect to see a very competitive team that is working to win, that's working together. And I think year two, we can get it going, especially as we start plugging in more of our players that we actually, you know, get to recruit there. So expect wins, you know, expect that for sure.
I know you've had the job for all of 24 hours, so this is probably an unfair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's your assessment of the Lone Star Conference, and how do you think your style of basketball fits in the LSC?
That's a good question. Yeah, the I've watched a lot of film. The Lone Star Conference, to me, is hands down one of the best, if not, you know, top two conferences in Division II basketball. I think if you can compete and get into the top two or three of the Lone Star, then kind of like you saw some of the teams this past year, you are setting yourself up to advance in postseason play like UT Tyler did. So it's going to prepare us for national tournament experience once we get there, which I'm excited about that piece. But the Lone Star is tough. There are some really good Hall of Fame coaches in this conference. I'm very familiar with several of them from when I used to coach JUCO. They would recruit my players. And so, and I followed a lot of them quite a bit and gotten to know like the Angelo State coaches, just different coaches like that I know it's going to be tough, but I think our style of play is going to be very different and unique. And so I think we'll be able to get in and compete and really, really kind of change the dynamic of some things in the conference by our style of defense.
You mentioned our facilities a couple of times when we were talking a few minutes ago. What is it about the facilities here at Midwestern State that you like the most?
Everything is very, like, open as far as the campus goes, right? It's beautiful campus, very well kept, but the athletic facilities is all in one place. You've got the arena. I mean, they just redid the court. It looks nice. And then the locker rooms were just recently redone. You know, all of that stuff is things that players look at when they're selecting a school, right? Like we don't probably think they should put that much, you know, stock into facilities, but they do. You know, they want to have a nice facility that they can take pictures and do TikToks in. And they, you know, they care about that. It matters with recruiting. And so, I mean, there's a lot of just everything being in that one area, and that they can access it as a student athlete so they can grow and develop as well. Those types of things make a difference. So they're not having to run across campus to the training room over there or go to the weight room over there. It's all in one place. And so the accessibility and the convenience of it is also a benefit. But it really looks good. It's well kept I personally think it's going to sell itself, you know, as soon as players see it.
I tell you what, we start getting some people in there, that arena can get loud on game night, too. I'll tell you that.
Yes, I believe it. The way it's built, the court is kind of down. I bet it's fun when you get it packed.
Absolutely, and you play that up-tempo game and get this crowd into it. It sounds like we're going to have some fun game nights coming up here at Ligon Coliseum.
Yes, we're looking forward to it. We're excited.
Well, and we're excited to have you. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person and looking forward to working with you some over the next many years, hopefully, and getting to see Midwestern State get to the postseason tournament. We're so excited about having you here at Midwestern State, and thanks for taking time to do this podcast. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
That is our new women's head basketball coach here at Midwestern State, Bernita Jackson. This is the Stain Gang Podcast. I'm Pete Stein. So long.